What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 34 of NBA Unwrapped, where we unwrap all the hottest takes around the NBA. I'm Perry Aston, joined by Christian McGowan and a very special guest today, Dante Turo. What's going on, man? Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Just a little bit about Dante. I know he is a diehard Celtics fan, so we are talking a ton of Celtics with you guys today, as well as filling you guys in on anything else going around the NBA. Dante is a Celtics writer for WTP Sports, and I see you're also a member of the Marcus Smart Fan Club. You want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, since day one, since we drafted him, I've been in love with him. He was actually the first actual jersey for a Celtics player that I bought. I don't buy jerseys like that because, you know, they priced up like $125 a jersey. But I bought his jersey because of how much I loved him, and very happy we re-signed him, and I hope he stays in Boston for, honestly, his whole career.
To be honest, Marcus Smart was the one person I expected to leave this offseason. I thought a really good fit would have been like the Suns or another team that could have used that defense on the perimeter. He's such a valuable player, and the fact that the Celtics were able to retain him, I think, means so much. And you obviously know the value of Marcus Smart, but other people don't. And with having Terry Rozier there with his flashiness and Kyrie Irving coming back, I think Marcus Smart might be, of course, and Jaylen Brown and Tatum. I think Smart's kind of the odd man out sometimes. People kind of underrate him and everything like that. I think he brings that grit that really makes Brad Stevens' defense what Brad Stevens' defense is.
Yeah, and like you said, like during the offseason, there were moments where I didn't think he would come back. It was just a very weird situation with this agent saying they didn't talk to Danny Ainge, didn't really have an idea of what was going on. Everything worked out in the end, obviously, but being a Celtics fan, if you're not a Celtics fan, you don't watch Celtics games, I think it's hard to like understand how valuable of a player he is. Like, he's not a scorer, or maybe not the best playmaker. I mean, he's a pretty good playmaker, but what I'm saying is, like, he's known for his grittiness, his defense, and his hard work and willingness to win. The game, during the playoffs, he came back, he had the thumb injury, his hand was really wrapped up in the first play. He's diving on the floor to get a loose ball. It was just in the beginning of the game. It's not like it was a game-deciding play or something like that. It just shows the type of player he is and, like, what he's willing to do to win.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's why I'm more than happy giving him the money he got, the amount of years he got. I'm super happy he's back.
I mean, yeah, you're the member of the fan club. I know you shouldn't be upset about that signing at all. Before we jump into some more questions for Dante, I wanted to remind you to follow us on Twitter at NBA Unwrapped. You can follow me on Twitter at Perry Aston. Follow Christian on Twitter at McGowan75. Dante on Twitter at Dante on Deck, and you can listen to us on the Apple Podcast app as well as SoundCloud, so whatever's easiest for you, make sure to go check us out. Let's just jump right into some Celtics questions. I wanted to know what your expectations are for the Celtics this year. In the end, if you do believe they can make it all the way, do you think they have any chance against the Warriors?
For expectations for the team, I think coming off of last year, making it to Game 7 without Kyrie Hayward, you know, the lead up, like all the injuries they had throughout the year and stuff. For any Celtics fan, I think it would be a disappointment if we didn't make the finals. And I'm just saying that because you look at the East, like LeBron's gone now. Unless you're from Philadelphia or you're from Canada, like you probably think the Boston Celtics are going to make it to the finals this year coming out of the East. So with a full healthy roster, and you hear like Terry Rozier, even Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward even said, like, we don't care who starts, like, our goal is to win. Like, when you have guys like that are willing to put their egos aside, obviously, like, Gordon Hayward's going to start, Jason Tatum's probably going to start, but you have guys putting aside their egos, the amount of shots they get, minutes, just to win.
You have seven, eight, nine players that can start on any NBA roster. So you have a problem. That's, you know, not a bad problem to have, especially for Brad Stevens, who is so methodical with the way that he sets his lineups. Having even more weapons, having Hayward come back, having Kyrie healthy, having another year under Brown, and having another year under Tatum, I just think he's going to have so much fun putting together these lineups because he has so much, and Rozier breaking out last year really was the cherry on top.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I say, like, Gordon Hayward's going to start, Jason Tatum's going to start. I'm sure Brad Stevens will have games where, depending on situations, matchups, whatever, he can mix and match all these different lineups. I'm sure he'll do that many times during the regular season before we get lineup for the playoffs. But to answer the second part of the question, if they have a chance against the Warriors, I believe no matter who you are, if you make it to the finals, you have a chance against whoever you're playing against. I think a realistic chance for the Celtics, obviously the Warriors added Boogie Cousins. Now, you can look at it like, oh, he's coming off an Achilles injury, like players don't come back from that. I get where you're coming from. He's not going to play a lot during the regular season. He might not even come back until late regular season playoffs.
And that's something but that my usually our other co-host, Corbin, he had a surgery this last week, funny enough, and he's recovering. And we're talking about recovery here. He is one that always says the Achilles injury is something that saps athletes of all of their athleticism. And when they come back, he never believes they can ever come back the same. Even if they get the best rehab, even if it's been a long enough time, he thinks he'll always change an athlete. Richard Sherman, DeMarcus Cousins, whoever you want to put it up against. It's and Kobe Bryant, when you saw at the end there, when it was just limping off the court. Not that it's the case for every athlete. And I'm a true believer that I think DeMarcus Cousins is going to come back very well. He's had a great rehab. I think Achilles injuries aren't the death sentence, in my opinion. They're bad, but I don't think they're a death sentence. Corbin, our other co-host, if you get an Achilles injury, he's already rode you off for the rest of your career. So it's crazy because that is one of the – I have to do agree, though. It is the one injury that you're never sure how it's going to do because it's
– it was like the ACL back in the day before they like got really good at doing the surgery. If you had tore your ACL, you basically were done. You were going to be a shell of your former self.
Right.
But hopefully we get to the point where tearing your Achilles is the same. But I do have to – kind of meet him in the middle. It is like the gruesome injury right now to get in the sports world.
Right, but I think it is recoverable. I think if you go at it the right way.
But to recover 100%, and that's what Corbin's talking about.
Right, definitely.
At the end of the day, how I look at it, like I understand Dominique Wilkins is the only player to really come back from an Achilles injury like that. But how I look at it too is, sure, DeMarcus Cousins might not be his former self when he comes back. Sure, I'll give you that. But a 75% DeMarcus Cousins is a significant upgrade over JaVale McGee's best performance. That's how I look at it. He might not be their best, he might not be what he was, but he's still going to be a significant upgrade for that team. I think the Celtics, even with DeMarcus Cousins, I would say right now they have a 30 to 40% chance of beating them. But by the time the playoffs come and the finals, hypothetically the Celtics are in the finals, I can see that percentage going up.
Speaking of DeMarcus Cousins, can you believe he's a Warrior? First off, I don't think that's ever really settled in. They have five former All-Stars or five current All-Stars on their roster. It's absolutely ridiculous. And with Steve Kerr there, who's such an amazing coach, they can keep winning for a long time. So it's just seeing what the other teams in the NBA can do to combat this. And, of course, the Rockets, who got extremely close. The Celtics have been extremely close. The Cavaliers. Cavaliers don't have LeBron James anymore, so it's more of a Lakers situation where you can see what he can do there. But I think it's so interesting to see how the landscape of the NBA has changed. Where, of course, it was the super team for LeBron and, you know, the Celtics back in the day when they were putting all that together, and you had to change the way that you went about signing players. And now I think it's a little bit different. Now it's no longer just if you can put a super team. It's you see the best team ever assembled, and you know that you can't stack players better than them. So it's what kind of methods can you use, what kind of strategy can you use to hit their Achilles heel, speaking of Achilles. You know, what can you do to maybe catch
find
them
the chink in their armor, you know?
For one game, you know, for the right game, or whatever that may be to take them down. I don't think any team's confident that they're a better team than overall stacked against the Warriors. But I think plenty of teams have confidence that they can take the Warriors down by approaching them in a different way. But I think you can agree, Dante, there's no team in the NBA, possibly ever, if you're looking at just from a talent standpoint, that beats this Warriors team.
I mean, on paper, you see these names, you see right. the accomplishments behind the names. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's really hard to think of another team that's had as much success with their starting five.
Right.
Or even, like, Iguodala is a very successful player, too. He doesn't start for their team.
Right.
I think, like, the league right now is just, it's just a game of catch-up. Everyone's just trying to get to their level, or at least get to a level where they can compete with the Warriors. I mean, Houston took them to seven games. Even though they had DeMarcus Cousins, I think them taking them to seven games just kind of shows that maybe there is a chance that they can get beaten. I mean, you never know. With an injury or something that could take them down, I mean, obviously, I don't want anyone to get hurt. exactly, like, you never know. I mean, anything could happen. You're like when Kawhi Leonard got hurt. That first game, you would have thought, oh, the Spurs might beat the Warriors. But Kawhi got hurt, and then they got swept. You have to kind of think, too, like, maybe they did get bailed out a couple times with Kawhi getting hurt and CP3 getting hurt.
Right.
But then again, I mean, that's hypothetical. So.
Well, that's I always view winning a championship not as the best team, but the team that's the best at the very end. So staying healthy factors into winning a championship. So just like you said, the Warriors have gotten lucky a couple times. Maybe this year is in turn maybe for the Celtics, the Lakers, to get lucky, and Steph Curry, Kevin Durant are out, and you know they're able to capitalize. But to switch up a little bit on the questions, so Gordon Hayward coming back, what do you feel like his impact is going to be to this team? And with the type of injury that he had, do you feel like it's going to limit his top-end talent? Do you think he's going to come back around the same? Like, what can we expect from him?
Yeah, so I'm a firm believer that Hayward is going to be the Celtics' most valuable player on the team. And when I say that, I'm not saying Kyrie Irving is the leader of the team. He's the best individual player on the team, hands down. But I think Hayward, the way he fits the system, both on offense and defense, being coached by Brad Stevens, coming back from his injury, I mean, he's not going to be the top guy. That's
people forget that Brad Stevens was his coach in college at Butler. They go way back.
Plays. Like, I'm sure he's caught up with like how he's played in Utah, and he's watched film and how he's developed and stuff. So he's familiar with how Hayward plays and stuff. And so I think, like, when he comes back, he's not going to be given the task of having to be the team's leading scorer, have to do all the work. He can ease back into things. He can take the seat behind Kyrie, obviously. Tatum's there. Brown's there. It's not like they have to rely on him to score 20, 25 a night. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
He can take a step back and just kind of nurse his injury until he's, like, mentally back. Because he can be 100% healthy, but, like, mentally, I understand that it might take a little bit for him to get comfortable playing again.
Right. That was a gruesome injury.
Yeah, it was a terrible injury to see.
Especially with an injury like that, like, it's... I'd understand a player like being concerned coming back at first.
At that time, I was managing a sports bar, and I remember it was obviously the first game of NBA. I'm 5 minutes into the game. People come out for the NBA. When you're going, you know, sports bars, clubs, nightclubs like I used to do, people come out for sports. People love to see the TV at the bar. So everyone was there watching the Celtics game with Hayward, of course, you know, that new piece. It's like watching a new shiny car drive out of the driveway. And watching it crash into a pole right when you leave the driveway, it was heartbreaking. It was one of those, I felt the breath just get taken out of the entire store that I was sitting in, and everyone was just silent looking at the TV. It was gruesome. I stopped working, doing what I was doing, just to look at this. And as someone that does a podcast and loves NBA myself, covers it myself, it broke my heart. I sat there, didn't even know what to say for a few minutes until I finally saw him get carried off. It was really horrible. So I'm totally rooting for Gordon Hayward. The videos that I've seen online that he's posting of his rehab, of him training again, he looks really good, looks in fit. Of course, he's not in game time right now playing against actual NBA players. That's going to be the true test. But I love what Hayward brings. I love that he's an unselfish player, but also has the ability to become a star whenever you need him to. And like you said, his development in Utah was something else. Brad Stevens knew how to use a premature Gordon Hayward, let alone one that's developed into a star that no one expected. Now, Brad Stevens has a gift. I'm going to go out of order just for the questions really quick, just because I know we're bringing up Brad Stevens. What are your thoughts on Brad Stevens? I think he's a hell of a coach. We've had previous conversations on this myself. I think he's one of the honestly best to ever coach basketball. Even though it's an early call, I think he's going to win a ton of championships. I'm a Lakers fan, so having this conversation with you is super fun for me. So is Christian here, us being in L.A., but I'm a Brad Stevens fan. I truly love the way he coaches, what he does to the team. Players want to play for him. Like you said, Jason Tatum, all these other guys, that they don't care who starts. They don't care how many minutes, who plays, as long as they're winning. That's not because each one of them have been, you know, bred up to think that way. It's under the coaching staff that they're at right now. He truly is a leader to where he's rallying everyone to reach towards a common goal, not putting the right pieces in the right places and hoping that the talent's going to carry them. He is very methodical. I love what he does. I truly believe he adds an extra 10 to 15 wins a season to the Celtics just from his coaching decisions, just from little things that he does. It's insane. What are your thoughts on Brad Stevens? Is he the reason for the Celtics' return to the top, and how great can he be long term?
So it's actually pretty cool. This is why I love doing podcasts with people that are like not from the Boston area, because I love hearing what you guys think.
LA Boston's one of those rich histories.
So I respect LA and stuff, so I respect your thoughts on Brad Stevens. I just think it's really cool hearing that stuff. But anyway, going back to the question, I mean, I think when you think of Brad Stevens, I mean, if you want to look at the success, I mean, you look at every year he's been in the league, like how much better the teams have gotten every year getting new talent. And then you look at it, you look at the players he's been given, and then look at how they've come out of that. Like Jay Crowder, when we traded for Jay Crowder, when we traded Rajon Rondo for Jay Crowder was not even the 10th man on the Dallas Mavericks. I didn't know who the guy was. Turned into a starter.
Right.
We get Isaiah Thomas, who was a 20-point-per-game scorer in Sacramento, went to Phoenix, didn't really have anything going for him other than being a 6th man. We turned him into a 2-time All-Star, 5th in MVP voting.
Yeah.
We turned Isaiah Thomas into Kyrie Irving.
Mini Kyrie.
Brad Stevens brought in Al Horford and Gordon Hayward. Okay? You can look at it. You can look at Brad Stevens' success based off of wins, or you can look at it based off of the progression that he's made and like how what he's done to players and how he's turned them into superstars.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Isaiah Thomas, no one would have thought. Like, no one would have said before he went to Boston, Phoenix. No one in Phoenix was like, oh, Isaiah Thomas. And then he finally starts, and then he just turns into this Brad Stevens, just lets him get free reign, and look what happened, you know what I mean? And yep. Like I said, and then we trade Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving, and if you said that to me back in the, if you told me we'd be trading the 60th overall pick in the draft, the first overall pick, I would have thought you were high. So yeah. It's like, that's how I look at it. It's just how, what he does for players and how much better he makes them, and we were talking earlier with the players saying they don't care if they start because they trust their coach. Not every team has that situation where players do not care if they start or not, because Terry Rozier
That's rare. That's extremely rare.
What Brad Stevens did for him in the playoffs.
Like, oh, yeah.
These players know. So they know that he'll take care of them. Like, sure, Terry Rozier might not start, but he knows that Brad Stevens will give him the minutes that he needs to do what he does.
This is the NBA. You got egos on egos on egos.
Exactly.
You know how hard it is to first off, these are grown men.
It's not easy.
These are grown men, athletes, millionaires, people with lots of money, lots of egos, know that they're being watched by millions of people. They want to start. They want to be the guy that puts the ball in the basket.
They want all that stuff.
Why wouldn't you if you're on that stage? And the fact that Brad Stevens does this to the Celtics team is something that does not go unnoticed. And something that you said it's interesting that how we feel about Brad Stevens and other people across the country, you know, over here in LA, real recognizes real. I can see the kind of guy that he is. I can see the kind of coach he is. I can see the team that you have. I may not like the fact that the Celtics are in, honestly, an even better position, in my opinion, than the Lakers are with LeBron right now, just because the Celtics, like you said, made it to the NBA Finals, obviously. We're one game away from making it to the NBA Finals. They are right there, and I think the Lakers with LeBron this year, people are starting to say, oh, Western Conference Finals, championship. You realize that the Western Conference Finals is pretty much the championship if you're in the West. You have to beat the Warriors. You have to get to whoever is going to represent the East. So you have to go through the finals before you go through another round on top of what you would consider the finals against the Warriors. It's not going to happen this year. This is a long-term play. He signed a 4-year deal, not a 1+1 that LeBron is known for. So he believes in the long-term plan, and, you know, they're not going to the championship this year. I believe this year could be a Celtics year. Like you said, with Kyrie back, with Gordon Hayward back, the only other team besides the Warriors that excites me, it would be the Celtics. Maybe one more would be the Rockets, because, like you said, they were one game away. I really, really, truly believe that those are the only two teams that can even touch the Warriors this year. So the Lakers will make a dent. They'll learn how to play against the Warriors, but this isn't the year. I really believe that the East is so wide open, and you have to obviously acknowledge how weak the East is compared to the West.
Yeah, of course.
It's so lopsided.
That's why, that's why I say, like, the expectations for the team should be no lower than making the finals.
I completely agree.
I understand the East is weak, and then people can say, like, oh, you only made the finals because the East was weak. Well, hell, I mean, look what LeBron.
Who cares? Who cares? If that's how you make it to the finals, so be it.
Exactly. It's like we're not in charge of making sure the other teams in the East are good. We make sure ourselves are good, and we can beat everyone else.
Like Christian said, it doesn't have to be the best team. It just has to be the best team in the end. So it doesn't matter how you get there. If you can outperform the Warriors for four games and you got to skip to the finals, who cares? You had a fun skip and then you just got to show up at the finals. That's all that matters is the end result. Well, I'm going to ask you a question about Jason Tatum. Same thing about Jaylen Brown. Two players that I love. How high are their ceilings? Can they be stars? Can they be superstars? What's your picture for the two of them for the Celtics long term? I'm a huge Jason Tatum fan. I have been since he came in the league. Who do you like a little bit more, first off, between the two, and what are both of their ceilings?
If I had to pick one of the two, I think Tatum would be the pick that most basketball fans would make. But, I mean, both of them have superstar potential. I think Tatum has just a little bit more of that edge as far as, like we saw in the playoffs, he can just score. Like, he, at 19, 20 years old, if we're thinking hypothetically, obviously, because we're thinking of what they can be, hypothetically, if he's doing this at 20 years old, like, God knows what he can do when he's in his prime.
He was leading the NBA in three-pointers for a while this last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was shooting, like, 52% at one point.
Right.
And then Jaylen Brown, I think Jaylen Brown may be a more exciting player to watch as far as, like, he's really athletic, throws down, really quick. I think Jaylen Brown, I think their floors are all-star level players. I think they both are easily going to be all-stars, I believe. And I think Jason Tatum, actually, this was months ago, I tweeted something about Jason Tatum, and a fan on Dante on Deck tweeted at me. I forget who it was. I can't remember. I can't find the tweet. But someone said to me, and at first when I saw this, I was thinking, like, oh, like, I don't know. But then I wrapped my head around it, and what he said was, or what this person said was, if Jason Tatum stays healthy his whole career, he has potential to be better than Kobe Bryant. Now Kobe Bryant and Jason Tatum should not be mentioned in the same sentence.
That's not fair.
Right now.
That's not fair.
I understand that. But, like, at first when I saw that, I was like, I don't know, because obviously Kobe Bryant, one of the best NBA players ever. It's not, you don't just compare anyone to Kobe Bryant.
And hearing that from a Celtics fan makes me feel just as good as you hearing me talk about Brad Stevens.
Like you gotta respect that. Like, Kobe Bryant is one of the best. So
real recognizes real.
The more I think about it, Tatum's 20. We saw what he did in his first year in the league in the playoffs. If he does stay, and you see the way the Celtics are, the way that they're planned out right now, they're planned out to be one of the best teams in the NBA for the next five, seven, maybe even 10 years if everything goes the way we want it to.
Totally.
But, like, if you think about it, like, let's say in the next 7 years the Celtics win two or three championships. By the age of 25, having two or three titles isn't that bad. Or by the age of 20, right before you reach your prime, having two or three titles isn't that bad.
Not at all.
And at that point, whether or not he wants to be the star in Boston, which I pray to God he does, or whatever he does, he has, let's say you play to, like, you're 35, 36. You have 8, 9 more years to try to get one or two more rings. I mean, if he stays healthy, finishes with five, I mean, I don't know. It really isn't that crazy of a thought, the more I thought about it.
We're thinking five rings at this point. I think Dante's getting a little ahead of himself, but I definitely don't disagree with you.
That's why I'm saying, like, hypothetical. Like, I try not to think that far ahead, but it's something to think about.
You know, so, yeah, speaking about the next 10 years, let's talk about the next year. So Kyrie Irving, at the end of this year, sounds like he may be leaving Boston. If he does, how are you guys equipped to handle that? And what do you think are the chances that that's actually going to happen?
I think we kept Terry Rozier for a reason. Okay. I think we have him just in case, you know, anything happens. I don't believe that he's going to leave Kyrie Irving, because how I look at it is the only other team I could think that he would go to is New York.
The Knicks.
But you look at the situation that he's in. He's the leader of the team. He's the number one guy. There's no one taking that away from him, at least for the time being.
Well, like you said, Dante, this is a very rare team where no one cares if they start. Everyone just wants to chip in. Everyone sees each other as family, as you should, as you are all working together towards a common goal for a championship. But in that case, you got Hayward returning. You have a ton of talent on this roster. Yes, Kyrie Irving, if you look at him talent-wise, may be the best player on this team. But is he the star? Is this team even designed to have a star? I don't believe it is. I think this is such a well-rounded team, which isn't a bad thing at all. It's something that's so rare. I don't remember the last time I could talk about such a well-rounded team with such a good coach, and there's not one player on the team that I think is making the team. There's absolutely not. So is he the star of the team? And because the reason why he wanted out of Cleveland, because he didn't want to be LeBron's Robin to his Batman. And it's not that he's anybody's Robin in Boston. So you are right. He isn't second to anybody, but he also may not be first. So the one thing that he may get on the Knicks, yes, they have Porzingis there and a decent young squad, but he would be the star in New York, and they would be revolving everything around Kyrie. Obviously, I don't think he'd be as good of a position that he is in Boston right now, poised for success for the next 5 to 10 years with such young stars on such good contracts right now. Of course, Rozier coming back. He can back up Kyrie. He can be the number one. He can do really whatever you want. I don't think he minds doing that, like you said. So do the Celtics even need a star, like a number one? And if Kyrie left, you think it'd just be the next man up kind of thing? Like Gordon Hayward would take his next step. You know, Jason Tatum would finally evolve a little bit more. Brown, etc. Do you think it would even really hurt the Celtics, to be 100% honest, in the long run?
Yeah, so you make a great point. I mean, that is a fair thing to think. Like, does this team need a star? Like, you see it on paper, like, how deep this team is. Like, do you need Kyrie? It's a fair question to ask. But then I look at it like, yeah, we play next man up. We have Terry Rozier starting, which is in no means a bad thing. I love Terry Rozier.
Right. Scary
Terry. But he's no Kyrie Irving. I don't think, other than Steph Curry, I don't think there's a point guard in the league that's better than him. And I would say that before he came to Boston. I said that when he was in Cleveland. I think the best two point guards are Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving. So him leaving, I don't think it would be disastrous. Like, I don't think we'd fall off the wagon. Like, we wouldn't go into a rebuilding phase. But
not even close.
But also, you think about it, if we get back to the finals, if he leaves and we make back to the finals, Kyrie Irving is, when we make it to the finals, like, that's what we got him for. Like, we got him for the finals. We saw what he can do in the finals, in the playoffs. Obviously not this year because he was hurt. But we got him to take us over the hump. By losing Kyrie, I don't think we get over that. Without Kyrie, we're not going to beat the Warriors. I just don't see it happening.
Yep, no,
so,
definitely.
I just look at it like, yeah, we wouldn't suffer, but we'd still lose a lot. That's how I look at it.
Just to give you my opinion, I think you have to, if you don't have Kyrie, you at least have to have that elite shooter for the end of the game, like Kyrie Irving. So even if he does leave, you still have to fill that void of having a clutch time player
like
him.
I'm so confident that a guy like Jason Tatum can take that role at any time.
But he needs more experience under his belt.
He does. But still, I think he has that eye of the tiger that you can't install into players. And he's training with Kobe Bryant. He's playing under Kyrie Irving. He's playing with Gordon Hayward. He's playing under Brad Stevens' system. Jason Tatum, who would have been successful anywhere, he is thriving. He is living his best life right now in Boston. He is training with Kobe. He's doing his thing. And he's going to be the next go-to guy, in my opinion. Like Christian said, he might need some more time. But that team is so deep, and they have the guys that are able to hit those shots. A guy that no one really talks about. Let's bring up Al Horford for a second. Someone that in the tabloids sometimes goes by Average Al. I think that's disrespectful for him. Average Al is a little bit better than average. He's definitely a solid contributor, and I think he's just flies under the radar constantly, and he's such an important part to this team. He's able to stretch the floor, be that perfect modern NBA big. Maybe he's not the fastest center. Maybe he's not the most athletic center when it comes to, you know, flying up and throwing down alley-oops and other things, but that's not his game. He's very methodical. He's got very good ball handles. He's able to pass very well out of the post. He's able to shoot threes. I think, and his leadership, it just goes unnoticed. What are your thoughts on Al Horford? Because he may be the whole reason why this team is sticking together the way they are, because he's been just a vital part, especially when they haven't been as super consistent at the center position. He's been the reason why they've been so good down low.
You see a player like him, and for a casual NBA fan, I understand people think they don't think much of him because he's not He's not an exciting player.
He doesn't jump off the stat sheet, but
no, exactly.
He does what he's got to do.
Like, he's not going to throw down dunks. Like, he can throw down, but he's not going to, like, be doing windmill dunks.
Right.
He's not going to be making flashy.
He's no DeAndre Jordan. He's the complete opposite.
No.
I'd rather have him than DeAndre.
He's a team player. He plays the right way. He sacrifices statistics. Like, he doesn't score a lot. He doesn't necessarily shoot a lot unless he has to. He understands that there are, he can make the players around him better, and that's what he does by him being the passing big man that he is. He sets people up. He has a great eye on the court. He sees things happening. In the playoffs, I mean, you can make the argument that he was one of the best players in the playoffs, period, not even just one of the best centers. The way he was playing in the first couple rounds, it was just incredible.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it is kind of disrespectful to say average out. That's more from fans that don't
know that much,
like I
about
said,
basketball.
They don't think he's as exciting or anything like that. But I mean, I'll take it. You know what I mean?
I'll take it too.
If you want to call him average out, hell, go ahead. He's still going to kick your team's ass in the playoffs.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm going to ask you a question that I think you'll enjoy answering. How do you rank Celtics fans versus others? And really, what makes Boston sports so captivating and so cool in general?
Yeah, so when I was looking at this question, I was thinking about it, like, it's going to be very hard for me to answer this, not with any bias.
You can be biased.
No, I know. So for Boston, I mean, I just think the sports or the fans are so great because there's just always a team to cheer for, whether it's the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, especially in this generation, the 2000s, like, there's just always been a team
right to
root for. And with Celtics fans, I'm obviously going to say the Celtics fans are the best basketball fans in the world. And I say that because, personally, like, I've been to games where we're playing, now, I'm not trying to disrespect any teams, like, we're playing bum-ass teams, like, we're playing rebuilding teams that
right, we're
blowing out. We got Geno time on the Titantron, like,
right,
we're blowing teams out by 20. And the fans are there till the very end. And I witnessed this, like, I'm at the game, not a single seat, like, everyone stays till the end, cheering for the Celtics, even though they're up by 20-25.
Yeah.
And I've been on the other side of it, where we've been down 15-20, and fans still stay. I think it's just, and Al Horford signed with Boston, he said when Atlanta played the Celtics and Atlanta was beating Boston, he said till the very end, Celtics fans were there cheering, let's go Celtics, even when they were getting eliminated. I don't know, it's just the passion from the fans, knowing that there's just always a team to root for, there's always something to look forward to. I don't know, it's just the culture, the tradition, like Celtics have been so popular since the 60s, the Red Sox, the well-known teams, historic teams, like all the history behind them. It's just, I don't know, it's just nothing like it,
in my
opinion.
That's awesome. And I know with LA, it's a completely different story.
Exactly. That too. With LA, I mean, you guys have 16 championships.
It's just, the dominance is there for both. I just think the main difference is what I've seen, because I have been to Boston. I know Christian has too.
Yeah, I visited
Fenway Park. I, you know, loved it. It was so awesome.
I got to see Big Poppy slap one over the wall in his last season.
So I've actually personally been able to experience a little bit of Boston myself. I haven't traveled too much to the East Coast, but when I have, Boston was one of the places that I've been to. And it's really captivating. It's different. LA's got that cameras everywhere mystique where there's drama at every corner. TMZ is waiting to catch you coming out. You are that big guy wearing glasses like, paparazzi, please. You know, Nick Young, he just completely crumbles under this shit. But I think the Celtics are just completely different. It's not the same flashiness. It's the grit. It's where when you're there, you look around, and the smell is different in the air because everyone gives a shit. Everyone is passionate. Everyone has been raised
it's
on
like,
that stuff. Your dad is a Celtics fan. Your fucking grandpa is a Boston Red Sox fan.
Hey, Tom Brady.
You've been there. You've been, you know. And it's just different because I think with LA, there's not as much rich. There is the same history, but it's not as personal of a history. It's more we ride the coattails of our banners, and, you know, we love the flashiness, and we love the players coming here. But I think with Boston, it's just, it's really real there.
It's a grittier city.
It's a grittier city of grit. I would definitely say.
I talk about Boston and stuff, and I say there's no way to describe it. It's hearing you say that, it's a different smell. It's a different atmosphere. Like, it's just, it's just so hard to describe. It's like you just have to actually, like,
you have to go
be a part of it to understand. Right.
And there's more history in the sense of our country in Boston. I mean, that's where everything started. Right. That's where, I mean, if you tour Boston, they're like, oh, here's the first, like, library. Here's the first printing press. It's now Chipotle. Like,
here's the first printing press. That's right. He said, now's the first printing press. That's now a Chipotle.
The first, the first place they made newspapers in the United States is now a Chipotle. Really? It's sad. It is very sad.
As long as they got barbacoa. As long as they got that barbacoa, I'm not that upset.
I don't know. It was barbacoa.
It's funny because for Boston, it's like people say it's too much, but it really, like, we're not lying. It's the truth. We are just so passionate about our sports. We love our athletes. If you come to Boston, like, you are going to be glorified. With Gordon Hayward, like, when he came, everyone, when he was a free agent, everyone wanted him so bad. Like, as soon as you sign that contract, like, you're going to be all set in Boston.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
Everyone's going to love you. That's just how it is. If you have Boston across your jersey or whatever you're wearing for whatever sport, you're going to be well respected and loved by everyone in Boston. That's just how it is.
Definitely. That's awesome, man. So just real quick, I know we probably got another 15, 20 minutes left with some other topics not about Celtics. If you'd love to join us for those, we'd love to have you on still, but if you got to go, we totally understand. That was all really the Celtics questions that we have for you.
Yeah, dude. We're on a roll right now.
Let's do it. We got Joakim Noah and the Knicks expected to part ways before training camp. He signed one of the most ridiculous contracts a few years ago, and it was baffling, as well as the Hardaway deal with the Knicks, but at least he's played well. Joakim Noah was a big mistake, and it looks like the Timber Bulls are going to continue to grow with Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau goes to sleep just imagining this. I think he just pleasures himself thinking about this 1 year with the Bulls. It's weird how he's forcing every player to come back and play underneath him in Minnesota. And Jimmy Butler's like, I just want nothing to do with this crap.
Right, yeah.
I am so out of here.
I want to be in LA so bad.
I am
so much going on with that team.
Jimmy Butler is like, I do not want any part of this. He's meeting with Tom Thibodeau on Monday to discuss the future with the team, which obviously is no future with the team. He's already been multiple public announcements that he has no interest in re-signing. His relationship with Carl Anthony Towns is not a good one.
He does not like Andrew Wiggins. And Jimmy Butler is worked from junior college to a star.
He went to Marquette. He bet on himself.
I think him saying those things kind of, like, really shows the type of players the Timberwolves have, or at least like the effort given by those guys, because Jimmy Butler's a workhorse.
Definitely.
Like, I love him. Like, I don't know if I'd go out to say, like, I would make a trade for him, but I respect him. I love him as a player. I've always loved him.
He's a Laker fan. I want them to go out and make a trade for him.
Whatever situation he's in, he works his ass off.
He's so gritty. Him on defense, too.
He would be a perfect fit, and he's a perfect guy I'd see in Boston, but that's a topic, different day. But if he says Carl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, those guys are lazy, I believe him.
Yeah. And
I believe him.
They're up all night playing Fortnite. We see it. They're posting it online. Like,
we see them playing video games.
Let's say Joakim Noah goes to the Timber Bulls. Do you believe he's going to have a part on the court? Do you believe he's done?
I think he's going to have a part on the court just because Tom Thibodeau's the coach. Whether it's like 10, 15 minutes, I think Tom Thibodeau's still going to find a way to get him and Noel Dang on the floor. I think that's another thing that will drive Jimmy Butler out of Minnesota. I just think the whole situation with that team, their young guy is not working hard, the head coach running his players into the ground with minutes, his old coach bringing back players that he thinks are going to help them win, but in reality they were good like 6 years ago. He has to understand that Bulls team was good because Derrick Rose was his MVP form.
And Luol Deng was long before he was
Luol
done.
Luol Deng was a bona fide like all-star.
Yeah. What was the last time he even played minutes?
He played last year one game.
I think he played like 18 minutes last year.
I think it was 18 minutes total. Nice. Yeah, I mean, definitely worth it.
Yeah, he definitely got his money's worth.
Definitely worth it. So that transitions us perfectly, obviously, into Luol Deng's buyout with the Lakers, our next topic, and his future in Minnesota. With the buyout, he was able to take the veterans minimum with the Timberwolves. And Tom Thibodeau, of course, I can't call him the Timberwolves anymore. I just, like, comes out of my mouth, Timberwolves now. Like, I'm not even, like, trying to say it anymore. That's just how it comes out. But Luol Deng was, we were talking about Joakim Noah's awful contract. This was one of the worst contracts in history. Laker history. And, of course, with the last regime, signing him and signing Mozgov were the two things that really set us back. And Magic Johnson's found a way to come in and flip a lot of that around by getting rid of Mozgov in a trade and getting rid of D'Angelo Russell, which resulted back in Kuzma, resulted back in Josh Hart, and as well as Brook Lopez.
Cap flexibility.
Brook Lopez, who was there last year, played very well. Good luck to him in Milwaukee. I think that's going to be a good fit. But Luol Deng, he was an embarrassment to all of LA. We hate you. Get out of here. Have fun in Minnesota. It was ridiculous. I don't even know what to say. I'm just, if Corbin was here and not injured right now, he would have way more to say than I do about Luol Deng. But good riddance, my friend. And Mitch Kupchak, all of you guys who are at home chilling, you know, screw you too. It's all good. But, you know, his future in Minnesota, I agree with you with the same thing with Noah. He'll probably find some sort of role on the court. They both believe they can still contribute, but what player doesn't believe they can still contribute if they're in the NBA still? I just think it's a shit show. I really think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be a 9-10 seed this year. I think Jimmy Butler is going to be gone within the next month. They're going to trade him probably, I believe, to the Knicks. And if not, Lakers please make a lot of sense. Lakers. Maybe even a team that wants to take him on for the year. And it maybe doesn't make a lot of sense, but I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to complain. As long as he's not in Minnesota, he's just not a happy man there. He's willing to go play anywhere he needs to. He was in Chicago. They weren't extremely successful there towards the end. He came over to Minnesota. They just barely made the playoffs in the first time since Nam. So he's not accustomed to winning. It's something that he doesn't mind waiting a little bit more as long as he's in the right position long term. I'm a big Jimmy Butler fan. One more Minnesota topic that we have. Their 2017 first round pick, Justin Patton, just suffered another broken foot. This time it's his right foot instead of his left. Just a bummer for him. He's not supposed to have the biggest impact, but he is. What I've heard is that he's been developing really well under Carl Anthony Towns, developing more of an outside game. Justin Patton's looked very good, especially since we haven't been able to see a lot with his foot injury. Another foot injury now, and it's not exactly stated how long he's going to be out for, but another unfortunate loss for Minnesota. We're going to move on.
Yeah, I think that just opens the door for more Joakim Noah minutes. that's what that means.
God, he just made me cringe. Andrew Bynum, you remember him on the Lakers, former champion. He's trying to make a comeback. Not that he's coming back to the Lakers. I don't believe there's any chance, but the Lakers have good relationships with their past players, alumni, anyone else that's been a former Laker before. So they have opened up their practice facilities and everything to Andrew Bynum for him to work out, practice, let teams come and scout him. In no way I think that means the Lakers are interested. So Los Angeles fans, don't freak out. Don't think Bynum's coming back. But he is training. He is. The videos I saw weren't awful. He's making threes. I think he hit like 12 in a row from a good 5-6 feet behind the three-point marker. He was moving well laterally, vertically. It wasn't bad. So if you are looking for a backup center, just take a chance on a veteran's minimum. It's not the end of the world to give Bynum a chance.
If he's willing to work for a sack of potatoes, he's worth a shot.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I mean, like, I can see a team giving him a shot at training camp.
Definitely.
For sure, and if he proves it, I mean, maybe he won't make that team, but I mean, if he catches another team's eyes, I mean, you never know. I mean,
worst case scenario, maybe the G League, he can at least try and make a comeback in there.
Yeah, the LeVar Ball's League, too.
Speaking of LeVar, LeVar Ball's League. Speaking of LeVar Ball's League, I saw there was a player that released things saying he got abused by his coach, that he didn't get the money that he was promised, and that now that he's lost a year of eligibility, it was the worst decision he's ever made in his life. Because now he has no future in basketball. So LeVar Ball and that league, actually, I forgot what the guy's name, but they tore this guy's life apart for joining this gimmicky basketball league. You might as well just go to a rec center and go play.
He can't even play for college now.
I didn't hear about the part of him getting, like, abused.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw a video. It was the coach was, you know, pretty much like, oh, stop being a little bitch, and was, like, hitting him and, like, actually grabbing him on the sideline. It was actually pretty screwed up, yeah.
There's a lot of people defending him, saying that, oh, people need a
people
tough
are so soft nowadays. I was like, dude, he's, like, hitting the kid.
I don't know.
Be professional.
It was one of those, like, uncomfortable videos. You're like, is there any regulation in this league? That's a little fucked,
man. Yeah, the BBB is a flop.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know what that is.
But Andrew Bynum, keep an eye out if he does come back.
Sasha Vujicic, too, I heard, is trying to make a comeback with his skinny little hair band.
Do you remember Sasha Vujicic back on the day on the Lakers?
Sasha Vukovic.
Yeah,
he was on the Knicks a couple years ago.
Yeah. Hey, that dude was one of Kobe's guys. Kobe said he didn't want to run on a team without him.
2009, 2010, 2010, he was huge.
He was great.
Everyone knew Sasha Vujicic.
Yeah, you remember like Jordan Farmar, all these
I know all these.
Yeah, Steve Blake, all these little guys that Kobe just thrived with.
Steve Blake,
you know what I'm talking? Let's throw that throwback
all
right now.
Throwback names.
God, I love that.
I love it.
That's so funny. All right, let's talk a little bit of Cavaliers. We got Rodney Hood returning, accepting his qualifying offer as a restricted free agent. We have David Nwaba signing on a one-year deal, former Laker, former Bull. He's actually a grittier player than people realize. When he was on the Lakers, I actually really like Nwaba. Very good on defense, very exciting, efficient player. Very efficient. He's not going to jump off the stat sheet, but he is that guy, like you said, with Marcus Smart, who is coming off an injury but diving for balls 30 seconds into the game, even though it doesn't mean anything.
I'm a big fan of Nwaba. Yeah. I loved him in Chicago. A
lot of energy, and he's very efficient. You could bring him off, and he's going to score and bring that off the bench for you. One more signing that I wanted to chime on. Kobe Simmons on a one-year deal. Really cool thing for us here at NBA Unwrapped. I reported the signing. Of course, Kobe Simmons getting released from a former two-way deal with Memphis Grizzlies. Signing on a one-year deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I tweeted it, reported that of his signing, of course. He quoted my tweet with the prayer hands. Shout out Kobe Simmons. Ivan Rabb, his former teammate on the Grizzlies as well, quoted the tweet. Shouting out the new deals and saying congratulations to his brother. And even Kobe Simmons' mom quoted the tweet congratulating her son. I've messaged her. I messaged both of them. She actually is passing on our info over to Kobe Simmons, hopefully to have you on to a podcast soon. Would absolutely love to have that and have your mother on as well. It would be an absolute pleasure. So shout out to Kobe Simmons, someone that I paid a lot of attention to in his pre-draft workouts and everything that he's came through with the Grizzlies. I'm a big Kobe Simmons fan, which is why I reported it. Very low-name player that people don't know yet, so keep your eye on Kobe Simmons on the Cavaliers this year, and keep your eye on Kobe Simmons on the NBA Unwrapped podcast coming up soon. Hopefully, Ivan Rabb, you join him too. We'd love to have you on, man. So super cool moment for us this past week. Unfortunately, we're going to switch the podcast to a little bit of a sadder approach just for this one topic, but we had to report it. Orlando Magic owner Rich DeVos passes away, unfortunately, and just a big, big name in Orlando, someone that's done a lot with that franchise throughout the years. I don't know who's taking over. I believe it's his family just in the meantime, but I did hear a rumor that they were thinking about selling, but Rich DeVos, rest in peace, my thoughts to his family.
Yeah, and we've lost some owners too. I know the Saints passed away
way too many. So, you know, shout out to the team, the family, and everything. Best wishes from Unwrapped and Dante, our special guest today, to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have one more topic to talk about, LeBron James. What's a podcast without talking about LeBron James, right?
You can't have one without talking about him.
This man.
If you're talking about the NBA, you got to talk about LeBron.
What is the NBA? It's just LeBron.
LeBron James.
We have.
Yeah, you're right.
You're talking to us in LA right now. We got tunnel vision. Tunnel vision. Right. So,
LeBron's my godfather.
So you're ridiculous. LeBron James production company with Maverick Carter. Spring Hill Entertainment lands a TV deal for Hoops, a new show about a female head coach of a men's college basketball team. This is LeBron's 500th show or movie script or something that he's done this offseason. I can't even keep up with everything he's doing. The Shop, he's got this one, he's got Just an Athlete, Shut Up and Dribble. I can't even think of any more off the top of my head, but that's four that I just listed right away. He is staying busy. I think it's absolutely awesome to see what he's able to do, and it explains why he came to LA to expand his career elsewhere than just the basketball court. And learning from a guy, you have to understand this, Dante, a guy like Magic Johnson, you may love him or hate him as a player, but look what he's done after his career as turning himself into a business mogul when it comes to sports. He is the creator or one of the main investors in the new soccer team in LA, LACC. He is one of the main people for the Dodgers. He runs the Lakers. This guy is LA.
Majority owner of Blaze Pizza. One of the majority of Blaze Pizza.
No, that's LeBron. That's LeBron. But Magic Johnson, I'm talking Magic Johnson. He has Fatburger. So he was the one that started that one back in the day, which is the perfect business plan to show LeBron James that too. Yeah, he had Fatburger. So it's the perfect mentor for LeBron, and it's the perfect platform in LA. And this, let's just talk this show for a second. Hoops about a female head coach of a men's basketball team in college. I think it's a really cool basis for a show. And of course, with everything with females nowadays, Becky Hamm, who has the potential to become the first NBA head coach, she actually interviewed for the head coach position for the Hornets, I believe. She's on the Spurs as their head assistant coach. So females in sports are awesome. Football coaches nowadays, they got females there too.
Someone that I actually played with in college, he was lucky enough to be coached by the first female head coach in high school football in the United States. And she came into the program. They were a passing offense, and she changed into a wildcat offense, and they started scoring like crazy. So she came into the program and changed things around, and he said that even going through college that she was the best head coach that he ever had, and she was a whip and was on them about grades that – I mean, it's just great to hear because there's no reason that a woman can't.
Well, like, look at UConn's head coach, women's basketball. It's a guy, Gino, whatever, and he coaches them just fine. I understand coaching females from a man's point of view or coaching men from a female's point of view is probably a different world, but it's not impossible. And it's not like if you lay down the right rules and you go at this at the right approach that it's not doable. It's definitely, I think, something, especially in 2018. Look at the NBA. Do you see how all the NBA players are rallying around the WNBA nowadays? I understand the WNBA is, like, there was a couple players that shouted out a couple NBA players and why they make so much money and that they can take them on one-on-one, whatever it was. I think it was
Brittany Griner calling out, like,
Tyler Johnson on the Miami Heat or something like that. I believe she actually denied that, saying, I would have never just called out someone. I made comments about that we don't make shit, but why would I call out Tyler Johnson? I don't even know who that is, kind of thing, which I think is funny enough as it is, because if you're not a big basketball fan, you probably don't know who Tyler Johnson is, especially if you're in WNBA. But I think you see LeBron, you see all these players. Josh Hart, when he was playing Summer League, was wearing that Las Vegas Aces jersey and taking pictures with, you know, that the girl on the Las Vegas Aces. There's such a good relationship with them. And Kobe Bryant is such a big supporter of the WNBA. So right now, I think some of these bigger name athletes are trying to break that barrier. And LeBron James right now using his platform for good, making a show that's all about, you know, females in sports and now in a power position in sports, because this is a really interesting dynamic, and I have a lot of confidence in LeBron and his production company to really spin this the right way and really send a very positive message to everybody out there in the sports community.
I hope that he has his own streaming app just so I can consume LeBron James content all day.
I'm sure. I mean, he's got
he'll find something like
just
that.
Yum, 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 yum.
At some point, he's going to have his own Netflix or something for his own stuff. But
you think about it, like, you went to LA. I mean, it was more than just a basketball decision. I mean, we talked about it earlier a little bit. I think that he's in this for the long run. I mean, he went to LA to get all these TV movie deals and stuff, and he's doing it great cause, obviously, with what we were just talking about. But I love what he's doing. I mean, he's thinking about the long run. He's not just thinking about his basketball career. I mean, being as big of a business guy, I mean, look what he's done in his career, like with his shoes, like signing up a lifetime deal at Nike. Like, he's a very smart businessman, and moving to LA was just another huge step in that direction for him, especially when he's done with basketball. I mean, I think he was going to be set regardless, but like getting into the world that he's getting into, he is going to be so set after he's done with the NBA.
And like Christian said, Blaze Pizza, one of his investments.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what the hell is Blaze?
It's the fastest growing chain in the world. Yeah, it's insane. And I believe one more thing I forgot to put on here. Udonis Haslam signed for, I believe it's his 16th year with Miami. But speaking of Blaze Pizza, him and Dwayne Wade just opened up a spot called 800 Degrees in Miami. And they just had their opening just a few days ago. So if you're out in the Miami area, go check out 800 Degrees from Udonis Haslam and Dwayne Wade too. Love going to spots that sports athletes have different parts in, or at, you know, different celebrities have part. I just ate at Wahlburgers the other day or a couple weeks ago, and that's Mark Wahlberg and his brother's restaurant, and It was a pretty cool spot because it had all of their stuff inside there, and I believe they pop in all the time.
You'll think this is
that's
funny.
LA for you, Dante.
I work with car dealerships, and the Dodge Chrysler Jeep dealership is the Russell Westbrook dealership. And when you walk into the dealership, there's a half basketball court, and you can walk in and shoot hoops, and there's signed jerseys. Well, he's on the Thunder, and he has an S. Canner jerseys, and he has like Kevin Durant jerseys. It's kind of a little weird in there, but it's a whole dealership dedicated to Russell Westbrook in LA, and it's weird because my boss is like, go to Russell Westbrook, and I'm like, are you joking? Do you want me to go to his house? Like, what do you mean? It's pretty cool that Brandon goes so far to even he has his own car dealership.
That's pretty cool. I mean, he did play at UCLA, so that probably had a little bit to do with it. He probably had some good relationship.
True, but I'm in Van Nuys. I'm in the Valley.
That's weird. Go to Russell Westbrook. No, I'm good. He's not going to pass to me. But yeah, that's all we got for you guys today. Thank you so much, Dante, for joining us on the show. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on and to talk a little bit of Celtics and everything that we got going on for this year. Just want to remind you guys to go follow Dante on Twitter, Dante on Deck, and go check out his column and everything that he writes for WTP Sports. DanteOnDeck.wordpress.com. If you want to get a hold of him, definitely go through there too. Dante, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much again. It's been so fun, and we hope to have you on for future podcasts as well. Thank you so much, guys. Listen to us on the Apple Podcast app or on SoundCloud. You can also follow us on Twitter at NBA Unwrap. You can follow me on Twitter at Perry Aston and Christian on Twitter at McGowan75. Thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you guys next time.